Hey guys, welcome back to my show. Today's episode, once again, I have a really special guest with me today. Her name is Yvette Luna, and some of you may have already heard of her. If you haven't, well, this interview will introduce you to her. Hi Yvette, how are you today?
Great, how are you?
I'm good, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
So glad to be here.
Thank you, so please introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Yvette Luna. I write music and I sing my original music. I'm from Dallas, Texas, but I go back and forth from Dallas to Nashville, do a lot of recording. I've been singing in church since I was a little girl, and God put a dream in my heart when I was a little girl. And it took some patience, but here I am. I get to do what I love to do, and God has opened some amazing doors, and I love getting to minister to people through my music and tell them what God does, who God has been for me. So yeah,
that's beautiful. I think just having that good start and like just believing in yourself, I think, is very key to just being great in whatever you're doing, especially in the industry, right? Creative industry is super like cruel sometimes, and I think just jumping in through the door and just barging in is the best way to go. So I know that you have a single that you just got released yesterday called Right on Time. So could you please tell us how the process was like for you when creating the song?
Yeah. Well, I love to write about what God is doing in my life. And consistently, I've seen that I've had to wait for things, but for good things. And God has always given me those things right on time, in His perfect timing. And so I had just gotten engaged. And so when I flew to Nashville for this writing trip, I knew that I wanted to write a song called Right on Time, because God was right on time for me. When I was getting engaged, when I got signed to a record label, whenever I graduated college, all those things, God has always been right on time in the big things and the little things. So I wanted to write a song to celebrate His goodness and His perfect timing.
That's awesome. I think it's really important, again, to just thank all the people in your life, even the ones you, I know, like, there's a lot of like people considering, you know, like many people are not into the religious kind of music or thoughts even, but I think just thanking the people in your life, or the thanking the spirits in your life, if you will, who are helping you do this. Because I mean, we all know that people are always like, we have a purpose, but we would not even be here if it was not for someone. Because I know we did not magically appear on this earth, and I think it's very important to acknowledge the people, or acknowledge God even, or whoever you or anyone listening to this episode believes in, and just go on. Do not think that it's all you, it's all me. I think, at least from what I've learned over the years, it's that when you start being like, it's me who's doing all of this, you kind of start losing intensity, losing focus, because then you think that you're better than everyone else. Though that may be the truth, I don't think that, you know, just diminishing the whole idea of someone else helping you is often like breaking the system for creativity.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that, you know, I've seen it in my own life. I can't do any of this on my own. There's no way. And I believe in God who gives me strength. And so whenever amazing things happen and things I've been wanting, things I've been praying for, sometimes He says, wait. Sometimes He says, no, not this one. But like I said, I wanted to write about His perfect timing.
Absolutely. I mean, honestly, God always just has a plan waiting for us. Like, we may think that, oh, we got rejected from this one thing, but we have another good thing coming up for us.
Yeah.
And for me personally, since I'm a teenager, obviously it feels really bad when you get rejected from an audition. I know I've auditioned so many times for The Voice, and I know, like, you know, you want to kind of become famous and go on TV and everything, but I think, and what luck, right? For me, I've got rejected both times, and I think it's worth it because I've been able to focusing on podcasting and my own music, right? And I don't think I would have been able to do that had I been accepted, because I know there's contracts and, you know, a lot of time you spend in LA versus being in school and continuing education. And I think every time something happens, obviously you feel bad at one point, but at the same time, you slowly start to learn as you progress in life that all good things come with a bad thing and all bad things come with a good thing. And I think that's just the essence of how God works. In fact, He is not purposely trying to bring you down. He's just kind of doing what's best for you. And I think it takes time to realize that. Even for me, I still, like, if I were to get rejected from something else down the road, I would still like be like, oh, why did this happen to me? Versus, if you notice, many people, what happens is, even me, is that when something good happens, you're not like, oh my God, thank you God, and all of that. We do not do that. Whereas if something bad happens, we're like, oh my God, you messed my life, you know? So I think just creating like a fine line between, like, if you are gonna believe in God and if you are gonna trust Him, you have to gotta trust Him both ways, both in good times and bad times. I think even for me, I often, like, you know, treat like I believe in God and everything, but at the same time, sometimes you lose faith, especially when things that you do not want happens.
That is so real. And can I tell you a story?
Yeah, of course.
I agree with you. It's hard to trust God in hard times. But I actually grew up in church my whole life. But there came a season when I started to lose faith because God told me that I would sing for Him. When I was 19 years old, I was at a worship night. So a lot of people were singing songs. It was like a church. It was at night and it was student led. Some of my friends singing, leading worship. And so me and my friends down the hall, we went to this event and so we were all singing. And I had a supernatural moment. And God spoke to me that night and said, you're going to sing for me. And I cried for the whole night. Now, I didn't hear I didn't hear His voice. I felt something supernatural that I've never felt before. Even till this day, I still haven't experienced that, but once in my life. And so it shook me and it marked my life forever. So I was like that crazy girl down the hall. It's like, God spoke to me. God spoke to me. I'm like, what? This is crazy. And so this was my first time living out my faith as my own. So I grew up in the church and I also learned who God was through my parents. But then when I went to college, I had already moved out. So I had to make the decision. Am I going to keep following God? Am I not going to believe in this anymore? But I thought, He's only been so good to me. I've read His word. It's changed my life. Of course I'm going to dig in. So I dug in, and that night happened at that worship night where He spoke to me. So now I'm crying. I'm a mess. And I was majoring in business. So I got a marketing degree because my dad wanted me to get a marketing degree and I wanted to honor my parents. And so I called my dad that night and I said, Dad, I don't know how to explain this to you, but God literally just met me tonight and He said that I'm gonna sing for Him. And my dad was so moved. He was like, okay, like, if you need to change your major, change your major. But in that time period, I dealt with a lot of fear. And when I found out that you had to audition to change your major to a music major, I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. So I called my dad and he said, you know what, let's meet in the middle. How about you take some vocal lessons? And if this is meant for you, if God really did say you're gonna sing for Him, He's gonna open those doors. You just have to trust Him. So I said, okay, I'm gonna keep majoring in business. Long story short, I didn't really sing or do anything in public for a long time until my junior year in college. So I was like 21 at this point. And God said, and there was auditions happening for the college worship team. And I was like, I'm going to audition. This is my chance. Like, I'm going to sing for God. But you can sing for God anywhere. You can sing for God in your room, right? But I felt like this was an open door for me. So I started practicing. And then I saw that 80 vocalists signed up to audition for one. And I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. Even though I had already signed up, I'm like, I'm not doing it. I was afraid to get rejected, which is normal. It's so human to be afraid. Absolutely. To be rejected. but it was like my biggest fear. And so then I talked to my dad on the phone. He was like, no, you didn't do it. And I just kind of wrestled with myself and I was like, I'm doing it. Last minute auditioned. And then I got an email and I made it to the second round. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what? This is crazy. This is coming from someone who has only sang in a setting with like older people, not with people my age. It's scarier to sing with people your age around, almost, for me, at least that's how I felt.
Yeah, even and for me.
Right. And so then I went to round two, and when I found out that there was only like 5 people auditioning for round two, when there was 80 people auditioning in the beginning, I was like, oh my goodness. And then there was this girl, she's so talented, so awesome. I knew she was auditioning and I was like, great, I have zero chance. She's also friends with everyone on the team. I'm sure she's gonna get in. And my faith went squat to nothing. And so I wrestled with a lot of emotions, but I finally convinced myself, I have to do this or I'll regret it. So I went ahead and auditioned. And then the next day, we didn't get a call until the next 2 days. So I'm just waiting with anxiety. I'm just wondering, oh my gosh, did I make it? So after I had auditioned, I went back to my apartment and I was like, there's no way I made it. That girl's friends with everyone in the team. They're all gonna vote yes for her. And I walked back to my apartment where all my roommates were. They were like, how'd it go? And I just like, I couldn't even talk. I just went straight to my room and I just started crying because I just thought it was already a no. So the next 2 days happen and then I get a call from the director and I have already set this aside. I'm like, I didn't make it, it's fine. Like I need to move on. He gives me a call and he says, hey Beth, congratulations. You've got the spot out of 80 people. And I just immediately start crying. I'm like, I can't believe this. I'm the only business major. Everyone else is like a vocal major. God always has the final say. And so God told me when I was 19 that I was going to sing for him. And that can mean a lot of things. He didn't give me a plan. He didn't say, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. Rarely does that ever happen with God. And so, but he gives you a word, and he asks you to trust him and to follow him. So then a freshman year is when he gave me that word. I didn't even make the team an audition until junior year. Perfect timing, number one, right there. And then fast forward, I graduate college. I spent 2 years in that band, and it changes my life. I don't want to do anything else but sing for Jesus. That's all I want to do. So I had to have that time period in that band to give me assurance that that is what God had called me to do. So then after that, I started working at a church, started singing there. And then I heard of some opportunities. I got emailed or got scouted on Instagram for The Voice like you, for American Idol like you. And so The Voice, I auditioned 3 times and my last time I made it in. And then basically there was a certain round where they were looking for a specific type of people. I wasn't casted for that season, but I was considered for another season. So that was a big letdown. But then someone scouted me for American Idol and I'm like, okay, this is it. This is what God meant. I'm supposed to sing for him. So I'm following through, all the doors are opening. I'm like, this is God sent. This is what he's called me to do. But honestly, I didn't even know anything about myself. I didn't even know. I thought that I put God first in my life, but I wasn't putting God first. I was putting music first. I was putting my dreams first. And when you put something as fragile as that, it cannot sustain you. That you have to put God first, the foundation. So I was seeking this, and I got to meet Katy Perry and Luke Bryan and Lionel Richie. It was amazing. And I got a yes from Lionel Richie. Ooh, amazing. You know, I ended up getting an overall no. And when that door shut on me, I just wept. I was like, I'm done. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm not pursuing this anymore. And I was mad at God. So why did you allow this in my life? Why did you tell me I would sing for you? Did I even really hear you? But I couldn't deny that moment because that moment marked my life forever. I told myself I can never deny God's existence because of that moment. Because I wanted to say, you're not real, but I couldn't. I couldn't deny that time when I was 19 years old and you spoke to me and I felt like you took me out of our time zone. And I felt your love, your love that was so big for me. Like, how could I? I've never felt that but once in my life. So I would always think back at the moment, but I can't deny God's existence. So God, you're real, but I'm gonna be mad at you. I'm angry at you because you gave me a word. Did you forget about me? So that was what I was wrestling with. And then after that, I spiraled into depression. I actually went through depression, and I began to doubt everything. I began to doubt my faith. I began to doubt my worth. I began to doubt my purpose, my future, all of the things that we daily deal with. And it was months of doing that. And I stopped going to church. I was like, I'm mad at you, God. I don't want anything to do with you. Like, you said this. But I got to a point where I could barely even get up in the mornings. I thought, what's the point of me even living? But that's a lie from the devil, because God's word said that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God has come to give us life and life in abundance.
For sure.
And so in that moment, I couldn't even get up out of bed anymore. I wanted to disappear. So I called my best friend, and I had told my parents too. So I think it's important to confess to people that you're close to. So I told my parents what I was dealing with. They were praying for me. But I got to a breaking point where I had to tell my best friend, and I called her, and I was just weeping and crying. I'm like, and I told her, I feel numb. I've lost my faith. I'm doubting everything. I'm in a hole right now, and I'm struggling with depression. And she drops everything. She's like, I'm coming. I'm driving down to you. She lives three, four hours away. So she spends the weekend with me. And on Sunday, she's like, we're going to go to church, and you're not going to say no. We're going to find a church. So we went on Google, we typed in a church, and we go to that church. And it's refreshing a little bit, but I'm still hard in my heart. I'm still like, I don't know about this. I don't know about you, God, in my heart. So then, but it was still good to go. It was still good to see people. It was still good to get around people and be there. And then she left. And then I had another moment where I got desperate again. So I said to myself, I have to go to church because I don't know what's going to happen after this. So I drove to this church and I went on my own, and it was scary. It was really scary. But I walked in, and everyone was so nice, and I was shocked by everyone being so nice. And then I sat in the second row, and then the music started, the worship started, people started worshiping God. The worship leader started leading us in worship, and they started singing songs about victory. They started singing songs about the power of God. They started singing songs about how God doesn't give up on us. And boom, I started crying. I was a wreck. And I hadn't cried in, honestly, like years. I hadn't gotten emotional in worship in years. I hadn't felt that. And I was crying, and I felt God. I felt like his power. Like, I felt like a little voice say, like, I'm more powerful than your depression. I'm bigger than this. I just felt his peace, and I felt his love. And I felt like his love was breaking chains off of me, chains of depression, chains of disbelief. And I started to feel hope again. I was filled with it. And I cried during the whole worship, and I cried during the whole the message that the pastor gave. I cried, I wept. It was exactly what I needed. It was right on time. And I kept going, and I kept going, and I kept going to this church, and I'm starting to get filled up. And all of a sudden, I start to feel like God's voice in my spirit, and I feel like he says, get ready. And I'm like, am I crazy? Like, I feel like an urgency in my heart. Like, I feel like something's about to happen. I feel like expectancy in my heart. And I just felt, get ready, stay leaned in, keep growing in this church. That's what I felt. So I kept doing that. I was obeying it. I was like, okay, I'm going to keep going. And I was reading my Bible. I was learning more about who God was. And then that year was the year where I met some Nashville songwriters, and then got to write with them and got to record with them. And then 2 months later, I got signed to a record label in Nashville.
Wow, honestly, that story was, wow. That is like really amazing, because I think, like, you know, it creates like this whole moment, like just knowing the story. Like, honestly, thank you so much for sharing that story. I think it really connects with me, even though I'm not Christian, I'm not going to church and stuff, but I think really connects, because like, you know, you said God is right on time, and like it kind of explains completely why you wrote your song Right on Time, because it is true. Like, there's always like this moment where you said that you got a yes from Lionel Richie, which first of all is amazing. Because I know like Lionel Richie is considered the GOAT of music, and normally you would think that Lionel Richie is a yes, you would get a yes from Luke Bryan and Katy Perry too, but I guess not. But like besides that, like, you know, just the idea of like, you know, you're losing faith and then getting back to it because your best friend, and being a best friend, I think it's really important to just have that person with you, you know, who is just willing to drop everything and just come running to you, even if they live like, I don't know, all the way in London. Even obviously it's gonna take a while to get here, but like, you know, just having that best friend, that someone you can call on anytime, 12 a.m, 1 a.m, 2 a.m. even, and just be like, I need you right now, please. Like, without even saying that you want them to come over, they come on their own. And I think it's very important to have that person. I know for me, I have this really close friend, and I know you're listening to this episode, so I just wanted to thank you for being here. I'm not gonna say your name, because I know you may not want that, but thank you so much. I know I've been writing this song called Texting My Friend at 12 a.m., which I'm planning on releasing soon, and it's about her and how we always text each other at 12 a.m. and have like the best talks. I know like we, you know, talk about literally everything. It's like almost like we talk more over text than in person, but it's just amazing to have her in my life, because she just like, you know, is almost like an older sister to me, because she's 4 months older than me, and so she just honestly creates like the spark, almost like godlike even. And I think it's very beautiful how even you have that person in your life who supported you and brought you out of your hard times. And yeah.
Aww. I'm so glad you resonate with it. But yeah, so God has been right on time and all of that, and then engaged, and then that was like the last tip of it. I'm like, I never thought I'd be married at this age, and I'm not even that young, but I always thought I'd be married in my 30s. I don't know, I just envisioned later marriage. But when I got engaged, I was like, no, God was right on time. So that was like the last nugget that made me
like the cherry on top.
Cherry on top, there you go.
Yeah, I think like cherry on top, I think is the best analogy, because if you think about it, cherry on top, like if you think about sundae, right, there's like the crispy crumbly bottom, which is like, you know, chocolate, which is kind of like rough with like chocolate chips and bunch of random stuff that come in your mouth and you have no clue what's in your mouth. It's kind of just everywhere, like an outburst of flavor, kind of like how life is. It's like a brick, and like, you know, you're kind of figuring things out as you go, and then you have the nice cream on top, which is like, you know, oh, things are getting better, and then you climb up and up and up and up, and then out of nowhere you're not even expecting it, and then suddenly you have the cherry, which is like, yes, the sweet side of things. And then once it's all done, you start a new chapter. And I think that whole idea of just having like endless amounts of adventures through your whole life, even like the bad parts, like I know you went through a lot of hard times, but it's all an adventure. Some of them are bad, some of them are good, and I think that's just what makes life so interesting. Because I think if you think about it like a roller coaster, right, if roller coasters were just simply straight, it would almost be like a bus ride or like a train ride. You can literally go on a roller coaster and have it like parked right in front of your house, and you could just go on roller coasters every single day, because it's literally like a metro or like a bus if it's not speedy or it doesn't have loops or doesn't have speed to it. And I think that's just what makes life interesting as well.
That's amazing. That's a great analogy. You got
it. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show with me today. I had a great time chatting with you about faith and all about your experiences, and I love hearing your story.
Thank you so much for having me. I've had a great time.
Thank you. Everyone listening to this episode right now, I hope you all enjoy this episode and start believing in whatever you want to believe in. I think just faith is really important. Whatever you believe in, I think it's very important. In fact, I'll be putting in Yvette's links in the show notes below. Feel free to check out her music and continue supporting her on her amazing musical journey. Thank you so much, everyone, and I'll see you next week.